This week on Common Ground, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization is talking about expanding its membership, but that makes the Russian Federation nervous.
You know, once we are in NATO and once we are also in European Union, that would somehow consolidate the democratic process, the process of economic reforms, and this way Poland will be back in Europe. And "We want to be in Europe" was the battle cry of the whole fight against communism.
For Russians, you know, it's very clear that if NATO extends eastward, then Russia has to extend westward to meet NATO halfway.
We'll hear from Poland, which may be NATO's newest member, and Russia's argument against expansion on this edition of Common Ground. Common Ground is a program on world affairs and the people who shape events. It's produced by the Stanley Foundation. I'm Mary Gray Davidson. Should NATO, the Cold War military alliance between the United States and Western Europe, now offer its security umbrella to some of the emerging democracies in Eastern Europe? The question is being hotly debated in foreign policy circles. Arguing for NATO expansion in this program is Janusz Onyszkiewicz, who was Poland's Minister of Defense from 1992 to 1993 and is now a member of the Polish Parliament, where he serves as Vice Chairman of the Committee on Defense. Besides feeling safer under the NATO umbrella, Onyszkiewicz says there will be economic benefits for Poland.
"We know that being in NATO, Poland will be seen as a country which is fairly stable, which could be seen as belonging to a certain club, and which, to put it absolutely crudely, would attract much more investment. Investors would be more ready to come up and invest in Poland if Poland is in NATO than if Poland is outside."
Because they would see it as a more stable country.
They would see it as a stable country, as a country which got certain security guarantees, which is simply worth considering.
Alexei Arbatov, our Russian guest, doesn't buy the economic argument. Arbatov is a member of the Russian Federation's Parliament, or Duma, where he is a member of the Subcommittee on Defense.
"The whole history of NATO has shown that NATO is not very good at providing for domestic stability. Remember military coup d'etat in Greece. Remember political dictatorship in Portugal. Remember what's happening presently in Turkey. Turkey is crushing Kurds and violating all kinds of human rights, and NATO is helpless to do anything with that regard. On the other hand, we have examples of countries which attract enormous investments without being part of NATO. Look at China, for instance."
These differences on economic gains aside, Poland's reason for wanting to join NATO reaches back into the years prior to World War II, when all of Europe was divided and each country had its own national defense.
"In Europe, and especially in our part of Europe, what we suffered from were internal rivalries between different states. And Poland, as long as Poland was a very powerful state, the fact that Poland was sandwiched between Germany and Russia didn't matter that much. But when Poland collapsed, our geopolitical situation resulted in tremendous sufferings. For example, in 1939, Poland was divided once again between Germany and Soviet Union, because Poland was invaded not only by Germany in 1939, but 2 weeks later by Soviet Union. So we always were worried that in this game in Europe we can suffer. And now we have on one side European Union, on the other side we have NATO, and no country, because of its involvement, in particular Germany, has no its own policy. It is well integrated militarily in NATO and economically, socially, and to some extent politically in Europe. So Poland is no longer sandwiched between Germany and Russia. Poland is facing Germany, which is part of Europe and part of NATO, and that makes a tremendous difference.
Do you see Germany, the present German state, as sort of a goal that Poland could work towards? I mean, the entire change in the German state that's occurred since it came under the NATO umbrella?
Well, that made tremendous difference, and that's why now we have very good relations with Germany, and the process of reconciliation between Poland and Germany, between Poles and Germans, are very well underway, and that could be something of similar importance as reconciliation between France and Germany, which constituted the building block of the European community and European Union now. That's why we think that we can easily join European Union together with Germany. And I think that this is for the first time since many centuries when Polish interests and German interests are the same, because it is in Germany's interest to have Poland both in NATO and in European Union.
There's a debate in the U.S. right now, since the Soviet Union has dissolved, whether NATO should also be dissolved. Do you think that there is any question about the necessity of maintaining the NATO alliance?
I think that there shouldn't be any question that NATO should be maintained for the reasons which I mentioned. In this list of reasons why NATO is so important, I didn't mention really any external threat. Clearly, NATO is and always will be sort of mutual security arrangement. And if you want to have a policy on, I don't know, against theft, you don't think that your neighbor will actually break in and rob you, but somebody can do it. So there is clearly a need to have and to be part of some security arrangement. But NATO is also about stability. NATO is about promoting some basic, very important ideas like market economy, democracy, and so forth. And as I mentioned earlier, integration within NATO creates much better and more stable Europe.
Currently, there are about a dozen countries or more that would like to join NATO, and the U.S. Congress has indicated that it thinks Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic should be among the first to join, although there are foreign ministers and others within those 12 countries that don't agree with that lineup. But do you think that Poland has the most at stake in joining NATO and should be one of the first allowed into an expanded NATO?
Well, I would say something which may sound a bit arrogant, but I would say that NATO expansion is basically about Poland. Will NATO expand admitting country like Czech Republic or Hungary? That wouldn't make that much qualitative difference. Bringing Poland into NATO, that makes entirely new strategic and, I would say, political situation. And I think that it is not only so that we simply want to be in NATO because we think that we are threatened and that would serve our interests. I think that NATO would benefit tremendously having Poland as its member. First of all, let's put one thing very crudely. If there is a security problem, if there is a threat resulting from local conflict or other conflict on smaller scale, then we can cope with this conflict on our own. Poland is a big country, after all, and our armed forces are also fairly big. And that's why we don't need NATO for that, and NATO need not to be worried that can be drawn into some kind of local conflict which otherwise shouldn't be bothered with. But if there is a threat of that magnitude that a country of our size won't be able to cope with it, there is no reason to believe that this threat somehow will disappear once Poland is taken over, or once Poland is turned into a satellite country, or Poland loses its sovereignty. And then this threat will have to be confronted, not, say, 600 kilometers east of Berlin, but 60 kilometers east of Berlin. There will be a replica of the situation which the West had to live with for 45 years after the war. So, simply, Poland is an asset. And once Poland is in NATO, I should say that some dreams and some concepts which are re-emerging in Russia among some political circles about re-establishing Russian Empire would simply be disqualified.
Russia is still perceived as the biggest threat to the future of Poland, right?
I wouldn't say so. I would say not Russia, but some trends in Russia, which clearly can result in re-establishing of Russia as an imperial power. And we think that we have full right to say so openly, because in Russia there are many Russian politicians worrying about this black scenario. Luckily, I would say that this black scenario is not very likely to materialize, but you build your defense policy not on most likely scenario, but on the worst scenario. And that's why we must take that into consideration. After all, you do not dig the well when your house is on fire. The well must be dug earlier.
But it's precisely these imperialist forces that will be released in Russia if NATO does expand, argues Alexei Arbatov.
The predominant majority of Russian political elite, for various reasons, are against extension of NATO to the east, with one very notable exception. The most radical and, I would say, disgusting nationalist party, led by Vladimir Zhirinovsky, has never said anything publicly against NATO extension. And on the other hand, Zhirinovsky was on record on several occasions saying that if NATO extends to Russian borders, I will be next Russian president. Of course, it may be a vast exaggeration on his part, or a wishful thinking on his part, and we will do whatever necessary to prevent that by saying people of democratic political beliefs, or centrist or moderate political beliefs. But certainly extension of NATO to the east will make this task much more difficult for us.
We're talking on this edition of Common Ground with Alexei Arbatov, who is a member of the State Duma of the Russian Federation. That's the Russian Federation's parliament. Arbatov's the chair of the Subcommittee on International Security and Arms Control. Our other guest is Janusz Onyszkiewicz, a member of parliament in Poland and vice chair of the Committee on Defense in Parliament. Printed transcripts and audio cassettes of this program are available from Journal Graphics. You can listen at the end of the broadcast for details on how to order. Common Ground is a service of the Stanley Foundation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that conducts a wide range of programs meant to provoke thought and encourage dialogue on world affairs. What is your advice to the members of NATO right now, in so far as its future membership, if it wants to maintain good relations with Russia and see Russia move in a direction that is in the interest of the West?
I think I would not like to give advice to members of NATO. It may be misinterpreted. But rather, I would like to say that clearly Russia has no veto over decision whether to extend NATO or whether to expand NATO or not. The only thing which I would like to point out is that when taking this decision, NATO countries should have very clear idea and understanding of all the repercussions of that decision. They have to know it in order to take a thought-through decision, a well-considered decision. And I will not try to blackmail or to exaggerate the consequences, but clearly, as for relations between Russia and the West, as for Russian policy in the near abroad, that is in post-Soviet states or post-Soviet space. As for Russian domestic developments, the consequences of that would be very negative. Maybe Poland would gain from that something. I do not think that it will gain much, because Poland is presently not threatened by anybody. It's not threatened by Russia, not threatened by Ukraine, and Poland and Czechia and Slovakia and Hungary are among the most stable nations in the whole post-communist world, including Russia. They are the most stable. So there is no threat of domestic instability, there is no threat of external aggression. However, they might gain something, if only to overcome some kind of self-inflicted fears or some inferiority complexes that they might have. But as for Russia and the other countries of the post-communist world, clearly they would lose from that decision. Look at Ukraine. The country that is the most concerned about this decision is not Russia, it's Ukraine. Because Ukraine will find itself right at the edge, at the border between Russia and NATO, because Ukraine borders Poland. And then Ukraine will find itself under enormous pressure from Russia to succumb to Russian political and military dominance. That will be a natural response from Russia to the extension of NATO. For Russians, you know, it's very clear that if NATO extends eastward, then Russia has to extend westward to meet NATO halfway. The natural and logical conclusion of Russians would be that it's not the end, but the beginning of the process. If NATO extends to four Central European states, then the next step might be NATO extension to the Baltics, to Finland, to Ukraine, to Moldova, and who knows, maybe to Azerbaijan. Turkey is a member of NATO. Azerbaijan is a neighboring and very close nation to the Turks. And then Russia would fear being again encircled by NATO. And then the logical conclusion of Russian would be that Russia will have to extend westward and southward. And that means increasing Russian political and military pressure on Ukraine, Moldova, Transcaucasus republics, to succumb to Russian political and military dominance. And that is prone with enormous complications and conflicts between Russia and its neighbors, which cannot but involve the West.
It sounds like a new Cold War.
It might be a new regional Cold
or
War,
hot
you
war.
Know. Hopefully it will not be a hot war between Russia and the West, but in many local crisis situations, like in Transnistria in Moldova, Crimea in Ukraine, various areas of Transcaucasus, including Karabakh, it certainly will be a hot war.
So regions that have now struck out on their own, Russia would feel would have to come under its umbrella again.
Right.
In order to protect itself.
Sure. If NATO claims that its extension to the east, which apparently is not provoked by Russia, is not a threat to Russia, then Russians would say that Russian extension to the west and south should not be a threat to NATO.
Now, just to be clear, what you're saying is that these countries that used to be under the Soviet umbrella that are now talking about joining NATO, you're saying that Russia has no interest in taking them back under its power.
No. I think that Russia has no interest in taking back Central European states under its power. And it neither has the interest nor the resources to do that. Russia withdrew from that area because after 50 years of occupation, it stretched its resources too thin, undercut its strength, and had to withdraw. So there is no possibility whatsoever of Russians restoring that. Moreover, I think that there is no need for Russia to restore its domain over the former republics of the Soviet Union. They should be free sovereign states, as they are, recognized by the United Nations. Russia should help them, should strive for economic integration with them, but Russia should not try to politically and militarily dominate them. First of all, that relates to Ukraine. But if NATO extends to the east, Russia will get fearful that the next step would be Ukraine joining NATO, and that would be perceived as a national catastrophe in Russia.
Is there much interest in Russia in becoming a part of NATO?
No, I wouldn't say so. Russians do not understand what benefits could they gain from becoming part of NATO. Russians understand that most of the Russians, I would say most of the public opinion of interested Russian public, is not in favor of disbanding NATO. They understand that NATO now is the principal factor of stability in Western Europe. They are worried about Germany, especially after German reunification and first signs of German political activism in Central Europe, in the Balkans. And so they understand that NATO is the only international organization which can efficiently and effectively keep new Europe within the framework of security. And the other organizations are not yet strong enough to do that, like West European Union, for instance, or Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They are not strong enough to do that. But on the other hand, they do not understand what could Russia or NATO gain from Russian membership in NATO. Clearly, Russian membership in NATO would mean that NATO is quite a different organization from what it is now. Maybe in time, fortunately, or hopefully, sometime it will become appropriate for NATO to radically transform into really an regional international security organization, maybe merge with the OSCE, mm-hmm. and then Russia.
That's the Organization of Security and Cooperation,
Cooperation
in Europe.
And at that time, clearly, it will be necessary for Russia to become full member.
As we finished up our interview, I asked Janusz Anishkevich how he, a former university professor of math, became so involved in Polish politics. It turns out he was one of the founding members of Solidarity, the trade union that paved the way for the downfall of Poland's communist regime. Anishkevich was even imprisoned several times for his work with Solidarity.
We tried to build this Solidarity, this movement in 1980, and eventually, as the result of a wave of strikes which started in the summer of 1980, we made a major breakthrough. It means that we got the acquiescence of the authorities to set up the first really independent trade union, independent from Communist Party. And fairly soon we had 10 million members, if you add all families. Practically, whole country was organized, whole population was organized within this trade union solidarity framework. I was fairly active from the very beginning. I was the member of the national executive. I was the national spokesman for Solidarity. Then the communist regime tried to crash the movement and implemented martial law. We were driven underground. About 10,000 of us went into prison. But nevertheless, it didn't work. And our contribution was that when we won the elections in 1989, and we formed the first non-communist government in the whole communist world, the Russian tanks didn't start to roll, which showed that so-called Brezhnev doctrine, which could be described as a principle that the preservation of communism in every country is a matter, is not an internal matter, it's a matter of the whole Warsaw Pact, that this principle it was no longer applicable. We could actually create non-communist government, and as I said, the Soviets didn't intervene militarily in Poland. So when that was shown, everything collapsed like a pack of cards.
That must have been an extremely satisfying, for want of a better adjective. I couldn't even imagine the type of euphoria you must have felt in 89 when you watched what you had built and struggled and suffered for suddenly result in something that must have been unimaginable for you in the early years of Solidarity. I mean,
it was true, because when we started to have our roundtable talks with the communists, the situation was completely surrealistic. After all, most of us were under very serious political charges. I had the charge of high treason, I had also other charges, and we were actually representing illegal underground organization. It was, I would say, something even more bizarre than official negotiations between FBI and mafia.
Do you see the entrance of Poland into NATO solidifying what you've been working for all these years?
Well, clearly, once we are in NATO and once we are also in European Union, that would somehow consolidate the democratic process, the process of economic reforms, and would give also people the sense of not achievement, but also would give them the sense of recognition by other countries of our place in Europe, and this way Poland will be back in Europe, and we want to be in Europe was the battle cry of the whole fight against communism.
My guests on this edition of Common Ground have been Janusz Onyszkiewicz, who is in the Polish Parliament, and Alexei Arbatov, who is in the Russian Parliament. For Common Ground, I'm Mary Gray Davidson. If you'd like to order a printed transcript or an audio cassette of this program, please send $5 per transcript or $11.70 per cassette to Common Ground, show number 9527, Journal Graphics, 1535 Grant Street, Denver, Colorado, 80203. Again, ask for program number 9527. To order by credit card, you can call toll-free at 1-800-825-5746. And if you'd like more information about the Stanley Foundation, or you have some comments about the program, please write to us at 216 Sycamore Street, Muscatine, Iowa. The zip code is 52761. Again, that toll-free number to order cassettes or transcripts by credit card is 1-800-825-5746. Our theme music was created by B.J. Lederman. Common Ground was produced and funded by the Stanley Foundation.